Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
And fantastic news to actually say that getting us together, getting our act together, the podcast for the Queen's Park Rangers Companion, which of course is which edition, Rob Nichols?
481.
481, absolutely. We can celebrate the joy of an away victory, which really is the complete reverse of the scenario we actually had at Swansea City.
Oh, totally. And fantastic to come back and do it in that fashion. It would be terrible if we were sitting here now and we'd had this. We just come straight after the Swansea game, it looked bad in the second half because having come back from behind, then Millwall scored a fantastic free kick, 2-2, and the pressure's on. An intimidating atmosphere, to say the least. And we could have crumpled, but we didn't. We showed great character. We dug in and came back to score a great goal. And there's a few people that you've got to pick out, but one has got to be Merwan Zamama, whose influence coming on a substitute in the middle of the second half. He made two of the goals, so that's a good move.
As indeed predicted on the last Fly Me to the Moon podcast edition, and of course with the added bonus that our cable listener at the James Cook University Hospital will be well aware of, that Joe Hudson and myself did a pre-piece with your good self as you were on the coach driving down there as well.
Yes, when winter struck again, do you remember? We were going through blizzards at the time and on the coach and asking you whether there was snow in Middlesbrough, and you said, No.
So much to celebrate, because not only have we actually got the tremendous victory against Millwall, but of course, Steele is back on Teesside. Not just Jason, the actual...
Absolutely.
Works are back up in form as well, really. So great news
Phenomenal.
There as well.
Yeah.
So for those people who are listening to the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, different parts of the world or the globe, yes, it's all good. As we head to Queen's Park Rangers. In this edition, we'll be looking at some thoughts of Andrew Glover. Glover in brief, as opposed to Glover in briefs, which could be a nasty sight we wouldn't want to sort of consider. It's a thought, but our best
it's still
not
winter,
go
don't
there.
Go there.
Precisely so. We'll also be looking at Golden Nuggets, the selection of, basically, what happened now? What happened to the players who...
Where are they now?
Exactly. Look towards that. We've managed to get a very, very late addition from Kadeem Hussain.
Very late. Too late.
Very late. Too late for the actual magazine, but will be an added podcast bonus, which we shall narrate in our own unique way. And, of course, Queen's Park Rangers commit. Let's talk QPR to start off with. I used to quite like QPR in the 70s, because do you remember Terry Mancini, a man who effectively sort of preceded the left cheek hairstyle by quite some time? He was there. We clearly had Stan Bowles. Ronnie Marsh was there. Dave Thomas, I thought, was extremely talented.
Ended up at Middlesbrough.
Indeed. Jerry Francis.
Yes.
There's a good...
Still got the same hairstyle, Jerry Francis, hasn't he?
Those sideboards, they always come round again. You know, every 30 or 40 years, they'll come
He'll still be there each time.
Exactly so.
They're great entertainers, weren't they? And funny enough, my brother was a QPR fan. Which was, I don't know how that happened. Well, because he liked watching them. Yeah. They had the nice strip and everything like that. And we actually both went... Our first time at Wembley was to watch QPR in the cup final against Spurs. And it was one of those strange cup finals where there was a draw and then there's a replay, so we just saw them draw 1-0. Tony Curry was the star for them in that day.
That's true, of course, ex-Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Blades person who still sort of leads her at that point of view, in a time where clearly, you know, there were certainly lots of entertainers there.
Yeah, definitely.
The classic cliche is, do we have those characters in the game today? it's a bit of a moot point, really. I suppose we have people like, you mentioned him, Zamama. Obviously, it's going to be a clear character in various ways. I'll be working through that. I was also having a little flash there to thinking about the Balotelli character, but he's probably not quite in that same league.
He's a darker character.
Very dark, yeah. Nikos Anelka, you know, they just sort of say, you can't quite imagine the likes of Rodney Marsh and the aforementioned players we've been talking about, and even John Hickton and Alan Foggan quite going into that sulky mood, really.
Being
allowed to.
No.
We'll take one of Andrew Glover's scenarios. First one, actually, is Merwan Zamama, the latest tongue twister to trouble the Teesside public. Speak for yourself, Andrew. I think we cope very well with that there.
You did well.
Exactly.
Did very well.
Exactly. On paper, it looks easy enough to pronounce, but once multiple vowels, better than multiple vowels, or bowels, I should say,
the V,
etc., get involved, we Borough fans start to ask ourselves whether we have put our teeth in. He actually says, give us a Chris Morris or Derek White any day. Surely not.
That's a strange one.
Yeah, he's changed since he started.
He has changed, precisely.
Yeah. He was also cheered by the fact that Pigbag has actually been confined to the second half. This is an interesting thing because it goes da 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 da. I could go on, but perhaps two bars is enough, really.
Not a lot of words is the point, really.
You know, I used to play that for various discotheques, using that classic cliched phrase, in the 1980s at the University of London. It's very popular. Yeah, the original, of course. Not the kind of...
Reach Out.
Yes, exactly. Not the
Remix.
Perfecto All-Stars.
That's right.
Different line entirely from that point of view. But, yeah, I mean, there is that line that's come through. I mean, the sort of the goal scoring thing, lots of fans actually hate it. They don't like the notion of actually having a piece of music that comes through. They think it takes away from the whole notion. Tom Hark, that's quite a popular one with some crowds.
It was then put to the vote for the run-out music, and then a separate vote for whether there should be music after we've scored, or whether there should be no music, and if so... if there is music, what it should be. Mm. And it splits the ground each time. And, you know, the vote was quite close, but I think they wanted to keep it went in favour of keeping the music after the goal, which is a surprise.
No room for obviously making your mind up or save your kisses for me, then. Just a thought.
No, it is funny because obviously the fans that go to away from home, we're talking about the Millwall game, and we had three opportunities to cheer there. And it definitely brings everyone together, I think, when you are cheering the goal when there's no music. Mm. And it's funny because everyone at Middlesbrough does EIO, which is said to...
Three vowels, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, true enough.
A-E-I-O, you know it.
It's supposed to come from Millwall, actually. Mm. Coming to Middlesbrough, and whether it's the early 70s or late 60s, singing about their lion, I think. Mm. And
of course, Leo. Rory the Lion, and of course the
Leo or something like that. I don't know. But it's supposed to come from that. They're chanting those.
There's a whole new PhD study to be had in actually tracing the way in which these chants kind of metamorphose and emerge in their own particular way. Effectively, you know, you're going home in a Teesside ambulance. I don't know where that's kind of emerged from. Really,
where it's going?
Exactly where it's going. Precisely. Most peculiar. We'll talk about, as mentioned, the golden nuggets that are coming through. What happens to the lads post Eindhoven? Plus, of course, the Khedive Hussein poem. All this and more on Fly Me to the Moon, the companion podcast to issue 481. Of course, it's the QPR game coming up. Well, a word from our sponsors.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
If an insurance company representative knocks at your door and tries to get you to accept a cheque following a motor accident, what should you do? Let's ask Charles Ather.
What you should do is be very suspicious. If they're offering payment before you've even made a claim, then I believe they must think your claim is worth far more. Whatever you do, don't sign away your rights.
So if you're approached in this way...
remember, you have a right to choose your own solicitor and get a proper assessment of your claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now. Choose the one.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Atha of Atha & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face-to-face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles. Choose the one you know. Call 01642 22575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
So it was Captain James T. Kirk who had a five-year mission to actually boldly go to seek out new frontiers, new back ears, rear ears.
Finished now?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Although they did change it in latter years to the ongoing mission.
Ah, right.
You know, that's our routine for that. 5 years ago, Middlesbrough Football Club, the pinnacle of our success.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it?
Obviously, the UEFA Cup final and possibly time to maybe look back and see what happened too. A lovely feature in the current edition of Fly Me to the Moon, QPR1, Rob. Ross Turnbull, Andrew Davis, Matthew Bates. I mean, so Ross Turnbull, he's still with Chelsea.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Still on the bench.
Sort of following in the Brad Jones footsteps in many ways, basically.
Well, yeah, the other way around, wasn't it? Exactly. Yeah, Brad's expensive transfer to Liverpool on the bench.
I do like the line about the fantastic airline seats they have in the Premiership dugout, so it's quite a comfortable sort of thing to actually work through that.
So we're referring to the game before the final when we put out that 10 players from the academy and Malcolm Christie, and then Colin Cooper came on as a substitute, another local lad, for his final game, we had a load of players on the bench that were all had come through the ranks, which is the first team and the only team that will ever do that in the Premiership history, really.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's quite sad that that's the case, but perhaps understand. I mean, I suppose that the closest we're coming to a romance in the Premiership at present, and it's not local teams, etc., but they're managing to cope, is obviously Blackpool.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I could see Holloway having a moment where he'd say, yes, just put on the youngsters, etc. But then he'd get fined and then he'd resign and all sorts of things would happen.
It's a good point. It's getting into another argument, but when you've got 25 players that you have to put down, and if you make your changes within that 25 players, I can't understand why you get fined.
It's most peculiar, because it's very, very weird. However, let's go through the name checks. Andrew Davis, of course.
We talked about 25 players. I was speaking to him yesterday, and of course he wasn't in the Stoke 25. And Stoke, for some strange reason, as I think we've mentioned before, don't have a reserve side. So Andrew Davis has hardly played any football matches at all in the last couple of years. But he's back at Middlesbrough now. Looked a bit rusty at first, but was quite commanding in the second period. And it's a great shame we can't afford to keep him, really, beyond this season, because he's still a young man and he's still a good player.
The Stockton Olaf Melberg.
Yeah.
Which is great. Because there is that notion where, clearly, as a professional footballer, there's a certain approach that you actually give to your whole experience, but presumably the ultimate is to actually play regularly. And if you're just sort of not doing that, if you just want to pick up your salary, your paycheck, etc., fine. But it's what does it say about the soul, the spirit? Somebody who has soul and spirit in abundance, Matthew Bates, of course. We know what's happened to him.
That's right, yes. He's gone through four cruciate injuries. He's at present, he's out for about 6 weeks. Not another 6 weeks, as was badly reported yesterday in some newspapers, if he'd had a setback. I don't understand. People mishear the manager.
Sloppy journalism, Rob.
Very sloppy.
Is that check your sources.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah, he's out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury that picked up at Crystal Palace. But he's had an incredible career since that game at Fulham. Yeah. And is now club captain.
David Wheater, now at Bolton. Well, he probably likes the Trotters. You know, Tripe and Trotters. That's the it's not Fly Me to the Moon, they're fanzine, Tripe and Trotters. I know this from a former student who actually used to edit Tripe and Trotters.
Really?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
very good,
that's the line from that point of view. It doesn't flow off the tongue quite as much.
No, it doesn't.
You can't see Bruce Rioch saying, Bruce, you know, if you wanted somebody to actually go with some tripe, who would you choose? Trotters, you know. Tripe and Trotters. It's just not the same magic thing at all.
No.
Andrew Taylor, one of the positives taken by Steve McLaren, along with a load of mind-bending drugs, presumably. No, I will go there, etc.
That was obviously he made his debut when we lost 7-0 at Arsenal, and he said afterwards that McLaren's words everyone thought they were hollow words after the match, saying that at least I had a chance to put some young players in. Yeah. And he said that he said they'll learn a lot from that match. And he said he did learn an awful lot from that game.
James Morrison.
Yeah. Of course. Many people were surprised when he was transferred. I think astonished, really. And, of course, he's looked very good, hasn't he, for West Brom in the Premier League this season. Mm.
Yep, and kept going. I suppose following in the footsteps of Jonathan Woodgate, not Woodgate, Jonathan, another Jonathan who once played for Manchester United and played for Middlesbrough as well, and came to us from various ways.
Greening,
thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Jonathan,
yeah, yeah. That was there, and Chris Brunt as well went from Middlesbrough to and ended up at West Brom on the other side, on the left wing. So two ex-academy players. Brunt had already left by then, I think.
If we use the phrase, another former player currently scraping his studs down Premiership shins, you might think, it's got to be Chris Catamol. Lee Catamol. Lee Catamol.
Yeah, you might, yeah. And he certainly makes his presence back.
Catamol. No, yes, yeah, he does. But he's playing for, I think, some sort of non-entity group of
players.
Yeah,
I forget. I do
stadium
forget.
Something that's yeah. Up there. Benfica, is it? Stadium?
Stadium of Light. Yeah, I see.
And there is obviously the rhyming slang, which we won't go into. No. Jason Kennedy, not JFK, but JK in his own routine.
Is he Rochdale? Is that right?
We do have him effectively missing the decisive penalty in Darlington's playoff against Rochdale before moving to Spotland on a permanent deal.
Mm.
Yeah. Nothing about Adam Johnson. Mind you, he's injured again, so, you know, that's understandable. Clearly, his injuries opened the way for Sean Wright Phillips to have another little run at City from
that
point of view. Exactly. So, sign from that point of view. He's not OJ, he's AJ, but without the murder apps.
Right.
Just clarifying that basis.
Yeah, no, it didn't mean.
Danny Graham.
Yeah, had an incredible. Well, it's brilliant for Danny because nobody. He didn't look the part really in the Premier League because we're measuring up against Viduka, Hasselbank, Yakubu. But he's worked his way back through Carlisle, and as suggested in the article, really ought to have bought him back for 200,000 when we were relegated. But I wonder how it would have stuck with fans if they'd said, well, we're selling Alves, but we're bringing Danny Graham in. And actually, the answer would have been, that's a phenomenal move, because his goal-scoring prowess for Watford this season is such that he's been talked about in the multi-million. Well, he's talked about as a possible transfer. If he does go, we're talking millions rather than 200,000. So, incredible.
I just like the name Tom Craddock, because it sounds as though he should be playing for Melchester Rovers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Lofty Peak, Tubby Morton, Blackie Gray, Tom Craddock. You can see him, sort of midfield role from that point of view.
Nice lad, and he, of course, had his day at Wembley with Luton Town when they got, incredibly, when they were relegated after taking, how many points were they deducted in the end that season? It was incredible. We're talking about one rule for the Premier League. But, yeah, he was the star of the show. He should have been red carded as well, but he had a great day at Wembley.
And scooting through the other substitutes, David Knight, Tony McMahon, Colin Cooper, of course, and Josh Walker.
Yeah, Josh is the funny one, isn't he? He's had a lot of loan spells. I think he's had his second loan spell since he went to Watford from us. We couldn't believe that Strachan had released him on a free transfer, having just starred for...
Let's be fair, honest, Robert, we can't believe a lot of things that Gordon Strachan including the fact that he seems to be sharing with Gareth Southgate the kind of FA Cup punditry duties on a fairly regular basis, really.
I wonder what's said behind the scenes there.
They get on so well together, clearly.
Famously.
In all sorts of ways. Let's move straight into Kadeem Hussain's Genie of the Ball. I shall endeavour to actually do a little read-through for this fresh off the thing, a special bonus for the podcast, and obviously by Kadeem Hussain, Genie of the Ball. Borough attentively walked into the Lions' den. Manager, players and fans all feared a mauling from a rampant Millwall, pushing for a place in the playoffs. The first half in their fortress den, Borough were battered in a one-side nightmare, were lucky to retreat to the safety of dressing room with only one goal down. Borough roared out for the second half, bolstered by new signing Marouane Zamama, already known by names, the Moroccan Juninho, the Maradona of the Maghreb, the Lion of the Atlas, Genie of the Ball, the man from the tale of Arabian Nights, the one with superb ball control and pinpoint passing. Borough struck back to tame the lion in his den, and the rain of bottles and the cauldron of hate could deny Murrah. They scored 3 goals and bag all 3 points. Borough fans already have 1,001 tales about Ginny of the Ball, and with bated breath wait for many more against QPR. You know, there's times when I sometimes read a Kadeem Hussain piece of poetry and I feel as though I'm just reading the consciousness of Stuart Hall.
That's a good point.
You know, it's that sort of routine. From that. We've forgotten, of course, the plastic bottles. Presumably, the whole thing could have been abandoned if for plastic bottles. You know, thankfully, both managers, Tony Mowbray and
Kenny Jackett.
Exactly, both said, we'll continue.
It was when there was bottles from one end, it was one thing, but then when they started coming from a second end and you think it's coming from right round the ground, what do you do here? It was a bizarre throwback moment. Mm. But for me, they're just incredibly bad sports.
Well, exactly.
For one thing, one level, because that's what they're doing. They've gone behind. They disagree with an offside, which turns out to be onside. They all come storming down the stand, throw bottles at the pitch, basically to try and get the match called off or whatever. But they're just incredibly bad sports, and there's nothing glamorous about it at all, is it? Just ridiculous.
They're not blowing bubbles, they're throwing bottles. Yeah. It's not big, it's not clever. No? It's the little West Ham nods there, obviously, for Millwall fans, because I know they'll appreciate that. So, QPR tomorrow.
Mm. Yes.
We talked a lot about the whole range.
Top of the league.
Top of the league, obviously doing very well under Neil Warnock. They certainly had a lot of financial inputs into them with Bernie Ecclestone and company within that whole field.
Yeah, now they've got the fifth richest man in the world or something behind them, so they're not short of a penny or two. But fortunately, you remember last season how many managers they went through. They just kept it every few weeks. They were getting rid of them. But they're stuck with Neil Warnock, and you've got to do that. And he knows the ropes, even though he's got that shadow over him that if he goes up, they might replace him. But I think that would be a stupid move to do, actually. I think the core of the team is a good championship team, which is probably what you need to get out of the championship. Not a load of star players, but they've got that Premier quality, dare I say, up front.
There's a chap who has a surname beginning with T, who seems to be quite...
Tarapt.
Exactly.
Their own Moroccan.
Yes.
Yeah, he's he's an enigma, isn't he?
See how he goes up against Zamama Tarapt.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be an interesting challenge there. They might decide to bond together, sort of celebrate in all sorts of ways, as one of the few North African states that hasn't had a revolution as yet.
It's had a bit of unrest, though.
Oh, dear me, I don't know. Very strange. Anyway, Fly Me to the Moon's position is not to actually comment on global events. You can make your own mind up. That's the important thing. A draw will presumably be a good result, but it'd be nice to obviously get a win.
Oh, I think definitely we had two defeats in a row. We had the fantastic character shown coming back at Millwall. You recall a few weeks ago we beat Cardiff when they were storming away to the top of the league, and we were very unlucky against Leeds away from home with their injury time equaliser, and very unlucky with Norwich at home. So it'd be fantastic if we could get a win. I think there's every possibility we could, because our pattern of play is good. Nobody hammers us. We only ever lose by one goal. So all the games are really tight. Let's hope we can get a win. And then we've got Nottingham Forest to come to a couple of days later, which is another tough game. So,
and we have to say, it will be a retrospective Fly Me to the Moon podcast for the Nottingham
Forest. It will be.
Just work through that. Riverside rocking to the Lemon Tops, of course. A fiendishly groovy psychedelic power. Yeah, baby. Feel it now. A psychedelic power pop trio hailing from the wilds of Middlesbrough, with Mark Sells on guitars and vocals, Mark Robson on bass vocals, and Don Harrison on drums. They've been together a couple of years, and they recorded one album and a single. Of course, they'll be performing outside the Riverside as well. A little plug as well for the May the 15th. Middlesbrough Healthy Town 5K Road Race, and of course the 2K Fund Race. That applications are now available via the www.runmiddlesbrough.com website.
That could be a big day, actually, Alex, because after that fun run at Riverside Stadium, there's going to now be a match for Gary Parkinson, who's obviously got locked-in syndrome, and they're hoping to get as many former players and some celebrities together to play a game. I think already quite a lot of the big names from the people we remember from Middlesbrough's recent
Bernie
past
Slavin.
Side of, yes,
and others. Fantastic. Heaps of others. What about I was thinking of Paul Wilkinson. Do you think he'll turn up?
Paul Wilkinson. Isn't he assistant manager at Cardiff City now? I think he is.
Just a thought. I can't believe that the rest of the season you subscribe. You see, I can't even breathe. Leave. I can't even get the word out. Subscription.
It's a difficult word. It's like Zamama.
Precisely.
It's worse than Zamama.
Yes. £14.
Yeah, it took me a while to work that out, actually. I've lost my calculator, so I hope I got it right.
Second half of the season, checks payable to Fly Me to the Moon. Of course, the address for subscriptions is...
Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Brentnell Street, Middlesbrough, TS15, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
Precisely. Gilk Street we have down here.
Yeah, well. You know, buildings on the corner of two streets, yeah, you've got two doors.
Tough call.
So some days I do one street and some days I do the other.
It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting.
I think so.
This has been the 481st podcast companion. Actually, it's not quite 481st podcast because it's the second season we've been working this, but it's been the companion podcast to issue 481, the Queen's Park Rangers package. By the next one you'll hear will obviously be issue 482, the Nottingham Forest scenario. Rob, we're in your capable hands to actually lead us into a glorious sort of rendition, as I say, we passionately went through. Presumably the coach drive back from Millwall was fairly positive, I would have thought.
I think it was. It was definitely positive. It was very quick, actually. It was, we came back, bolstered by that victory, and now we're talking, we've got two sort of familiar sort of renditions here that could be matched up with a power game coming back.
Absolutely.
We're putting the power back in. That's right.
Da-da,
Cyril Stapleford Orchestra.
A classic gem of its time, really. Genius. Rob, over to you.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.